All right, everyone, get ready, because today we're going deep on a First Amendment case.
Oh, yeah.
That's as explosive as a, street preacher with a megaphone.
Yeah.
We're talking about Finer versus New York.
Classic.
A case that takes us all the way back to 1949 Syracuse, where a college student named Irving Finer, well, he decided to give a speech that would... eventually land him in the Supreme Court.
It's amazing how relevant this case still is today.
Right.
I mean, it really gets at this question that we're always kind of grappling with. Like, when does passionate speech, given speech we might disagree with, cross the line and become something that, you know, the law can actually restrict?
Exactly. And, you know, I was reading through the background on this, and it's not just some, you know, dusty old legal history.
No.
It seems like it really has a lot to say about
it does.
This line between free speech and public safety, which, you know, feels really relevant.
Especially today.
Yeah.
In today's world.
Absolutely. Finer's case, I mean, it set a precedent that still echoes through legal discussions, you know, shapes how we think about protests, public discourse.
So let's paint the scene for our listeners a little bit. What was going on with
What was the deal with this speech?
Finer's speech. What was he saying that caused such a stir?
Well, picture this.
Yeah.
Finer is standing on a box.
Okay.
Using a loudspeaker.
Got it.
To amplify his message to a racially mixed crowd of about 75 to 80 people.
Okay.
And he's not exactly mincing words.
Right.
He's criticizing President Truman.
Wow.
The American Legion. Even the mayor of Syracuse.
Okay. So right off the bat.
But here's where it gets really interesting.
Right.
He's also calling for African Americans to rise up in arms to fight for their rights.
Oh, wow.
Now, remember,
this
is 1949.
Yeah.
Racial tensions were incredibly high.
I can only imagine. And this kind of rhetoric was bound to spark some strong reactions.
Yeah. You've got a racially mixed crowd.
Yeah.
A speaker using really charged language.
Mm-hmm.
And all of this is happening right on a busy street corner.
Right on a street corner, yeah.
This sounds like a recipe for...
And the police.
Yeah. Were the police getting nervous?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And according to the sources, they actually received a report that someone in the crowd was threatening violence if the police didn't step in.
Oh, wow.
They were concerned about a potential riot breaking out.
Okay, so tensions are rising.
Yeah.
Did they immediately slap the cuffs on Finer and haul him off?
And this is important because it shows they were trying to de-escalate the situation before resorting to an arrest.
Okay.
The police actually approached Finer three times.
Wow.
And asked him to stop speaking.
Okay.
And get off the box.
So they weren't trying to silence his message entirely.
Right.
More like they were just trying to, they were trying to kind of diffuse a potentially explosive situation.
Exactly. Cool things down a little bit, give him a chance to kind of tone it down.
Okay.
But Finer refused to budge.
He just kept going.
He kept speaking. And that's when the police decided they had no choice but to arrest him for disorderly conduct.
And that's when this whole thing goes from a street corner soapbox to a landmark Supreme Court case.
Exactly.
So how did this relatively small incident escalate all the way up to the highest court in the land?
It is.
Yeah.
Finer was initially convicted in a Syracuse city court.
Okay.
But his legal team wasn't giving up.
They kept fighting it.
They appealed the decision.
Wow.
Taking it all the way to the New York Court of Appeals, the highest court in the state.
So they really fought this one hard.
Yeah.
What happened at the state level?
Unfortunately for Finer, both the Onondaga County Court and the New York Court of Appeals upheld his conviction.
So he lost at both of those levels.
He did, but...
But they didn't stop there.
They didn't stop there. They took it all the way to the top, appealing to the United States Supreme Court.
To the Supreme Court.
And to their credit,
the
Supreme Court agreed to hear the case.
Okay, so now we're in the big leagues.
Now we're in the big leagues.
This street corner speech in Syracuse has become a national legal battle over freedom of speech.
Exactly.
So what was the central question?
The question before the court?
Before the court in this case.
Was a weighty one. Did arresting Finer for refusing to stop speaking violate his First Amendment right to free speech?
Okay, so you've got this tension between
right.
the First Amendment, which protects freedom of speech, right. But then you've also got these concerns about public safety and keeping the peace.
How do you untangle that?
How do you even begin to untangle that?
Yeah. And a million-dollar question.
And to understand how the court approached it, we kind of need to go into this area called the clear and present danger test.
A clear and present danger test.
For our listeners who might not be... you know, legal scholars.
Yeah.
Can you break down exactly what that means?
Of course. Yeah. The clear and present danger test stems from a landmark case called Schenck v. United States.
Okay.
Basically, it established that speech can be restricted if it creates a clear and present danger of causing some harm that the government has a right to prevent.
Okay. So in Finder's case, the court had to decide if his speech was so inflammatory, so likely to incite violence.
Was it crossing... that line?
That it crossed?
Did it meet that threshold?
That clear and present danger or the threshold?
Precisely.
Okay.
But here's where it gets even more interesting.
Okay.
The court didn't actually rule that Finer's speech itself was illegal.
Right.
Or unprotected by the First Amendment.
Interesting.
Their focus was more on his conduct.
His conduct.
His refusal to obey police orders and how that conduct combined with the tense atmosphere contributed to the potential for violence.
So it wasn't so much about what Finer was saying, but about his refusal to stop when the police asked him to.
When the police who were trying to prevent a riot asked him to stop.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So the court essentially said that while the police can't suppress someone's views.
Just because they don't like them.
Just because they don't like them.
Right.
They do have a responsibility to maintain public order.
Especially.
Especially when there's a risk of violence.
When there's a risk of things getting out of hand.
So the stage is set.
Yeah.
The arguments are laid out.
Uh-huh.
What did the Supreme Court ultimately decide?
Well,
did they side with Finer?
It was a split decision.
Or with the police?
But the majority, in a 6-3 ruling, upheld Finer's conviction.
Wow.
Yeah.
So even though they acknowledged that Finer's speech itself wasn't the problem, they still ruled against him.
Because of his actions.
Because he didn't listen to the police.
His refusal to comply.
When they were trying to de-escalate the situation.
Yeah. That's where this case gets really controversial.
That's what I was thinking.
It says,
doesn't this open the door for the police to just shut down any speech they personally dislike?
Right.
Simply by claiming.
Under the guise of.
There's a risk of disorder.
Maintaining order.
Where do you draw the line?
You've hit on a key point of contention.
Yeah.
And it's a concern that was voiced very strongly by the dissenting justices in this case.
Okay. So now I'm really interested to hear what. Justices Black and Douglas had to say.
The dissent is powerful.
In their dissents.
It is.
What were their main concerns about the majority's ruling?
Let's talk about that.
Let's unpack that.
Let's unpack those arguments.
In our next segment, because this is getting really juicy.
Yeah, it sounds good.
So we left off with the Supreme Court upholding Finer's conviction.
Yeah.
In a 6-3 decision.
Big decision.
Yeah. But you were saying that the dissenting opinions in this case were pretty powerful.
They were. They were really interesting.
Let's get into what Justices Black and Douglas
let's unpack those.
Had to say. What were their main concerns about the majority's ruling?
Both justices felt that the majority opinion gave way too much power to the police to, you know, silence speakers based on the reactions of a potentially hostile crowd.
Yeah, if you know the police can just shut you down if someone in the crowd doesn't like what you're saying.
Exactly.
Even if you're not inciting violence.
Right.
I mean, wouldn't that make you think twice?
Absolutely.
About speaking out in the first place?
It would have a chilling effect on free speech.
Right.
Particularly for those expressing, you know, unpopular or dissenting views.
Okay, so Justice Black, in his dissent, argued that there wasn't enough evidence.
Right.
To prove that a riot was really about to happen.
Yeah, he didn't think...
He thought the police should have focused on protecting Finer's right to speak.
Yeah, he felt that the police should...
Even if his words were controversial.
Protected Finer.
Rather than arresting him.
Yeah, more focus on protecting the speaker.
So instead of silencing Finer...
Right.
Justice Black felt the police should have done more to protect him from those hostile people in the crowd.
Yeah.
And just made sure that he could keep exercising his First Amendment rights.
Exactly. That's right.
And what about Justice Douglas?
Justice Douglas.
What did he have to say?
Always an interesting perspective.
Yeah, I feel like he usually brings a pretty unique angle to these First Amendment cases.
He does. He argued that, look.
What was his take?
If we only protect popular speech, speech that everyone agrees with, then the First Amendment is basically meaningless.
Right. Right. Then it's not really protecting anything.
You're not really protecting anything.
So he saw Finer's case as a dangerous step towards giving the police the power to become like
censors
of speech.
Yeah. Who decides what people can hear?
Right. And what they can't.
Exactly.
It's almost like
it's a giving a heckler,
giving someone who disagrees with the speaker,
the heckler's veto,
the power to silence them.
Yeah.
Just by causing a disturbance or threatening violence.
Yeah.
That seems kind of backwards, doesn't it?
You've just landed on a really crucial concept.
So what is this heckler's veto thing?
It's called the heckler's veto.
Okay.
It's not explicitly named in the Fainer decision.
Okay.
But it comes out of this case.
Got it.
It basically refers to the idea.
So the heckler's veto is someone can be silenced not because of what they're saying.
Right.
But because of how other people are reacting to them.
Because of the reaction of those who oppose the message.
Okay.
It's like you're giving the hecklers, those trying to shut down the speech, the power to actually do it.
So let me get this straight.
Yeah.
If I'm giving a speech and a group of people just start yelling and shouting and creating chaos.
Causing a scene.
The police might be more likely to silence me.
Yeah.
Rather than protect my right to speak.
That's the concern.
Because of this heckler's veto.
That's right. And it's something that we see playing out.
And this is still relevant today.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
This comes up in debates about free speech all the time.
Yeah, I could see that.
On college campuses, at protests, even online.
Right.
The question becomes, how do we protect free speech while also ensuring public safety?
It's a really tough question.
Yeah, it's a tough one. It's a balancing act.
Thinking about some of the protests we've seen in recent years.
Oh, yeah.
Like Black Lives Matter protests, or even what happened on January 6th.
Absolutely.
It really highlights how complex this issue is.
Yes.
You got passionate people on all sides.
And the potential for things to escalate quickly.
And the potential for things to get out of hand.
It's always there.
It's always there.
And Finer, unfortunately, doesn't give us a clear-cut answer.
It doesn't give us a formula.
Doesn't give us a formula.
For how to navigate these really tricky situations.
No, it leaves a lot of room for interpretation.
Yeah. Which can lead to inconsistencies.
Yeah, inconsistencies in how the law is applied.
And maybe even abuses like the dissenting justices we're worried about.
Exactly.
So we're left with this tension between upholding those First Amendment rights and maintaining order.
Yeah.
It seems like finding that balance is just a constant struggle.
It is a constant struggle.
Finer v. New York, I mean, this case was decided over 70 years ago.
I know. And it's still...
And it's still shaping how we think about free speech today.
Yeah, it keeps coming back to haunt us in a way.
That's a good way to put it.
It reminds us that free speech is not absolute.
Right.
And that there are real consequences to how we define its limits.
As we're talking about all this, it's really striking me that this is not just...
It's not just a theory.
About legal theory.
Yeah, it's real world.
This is about real world stuff that is happening all the time.
Yeah, that's happening in our communities.
In our communities, on campuses, even online.
On our campuses and our online interactions, yeah.
Fainer is not just some dusty legal precedent.
No.
It's a reflection of this struggle we're always having.
Well, an ongoing struggle.
To reconcile the ideas of free speech with the need to maintain order.
The reality.
In a society where people have all kinds of different views.
And a diverse and volatile society.
Okay, so we've covered the basics of the case.
Yeah.
We talked about the majority opinion.
Mm-hmm.
We looked at those dissenting arguments.
We did.
And we've even talked about how this case is still relevant today.
Right.
But I feel like there's still more to unpack here.
I agree.
What are some other takeaways?
Yeah, there's always more to delve into.
Our listeners should keep in mind about Fainer.
Especially when it comes to the long-term impact of this decision.
Okay.
And how it continues to shape our understanding of free speech.
Let's explore that.
In the 21st century.
In our next segment. We're back. And I gotta say, my head is still spinning from all that talk about the heckler's veto and just how complex Finer v. New York really is.
Yeah.
It's amazing how this one case,
I know,
from all the way back in 1949 is still so relevant to how we think about free speech today.
It really speaks to how important the First Amendment is.
Yeah.
And how we're always trying to find that balance between protecting free expression and making sure that, you know, there's public safety and order.
Right.
Yeah.
And like you were saying before the break.
Yeah.
Finer doesn't really give us a clear-cut formula.
It doesn't give us a checklist.
For figuring out
what does it
when speech crosses the line.
It's not a bright line rule.
Right.
It doesn't say, okay, here's step one, step two, step three.
It's not that simple.
The court was really clear
okay.
that you got to look at each case.
So each case is different.
On its own facts.
Okay.
You got to look at the whole picture.
You got to look at everything that's going on.
What were the circumstances?
Yeah. What was the speech about?
What was the speech about?
What was the crowd doing?
How was the crowd reacting?
Were the police?
What were the police doing?
Taking the right steps?
Yeah, all of those things matter.
So context is really important.
Context is key.
It's not just about the words themselves.
It's not just about the words, it's the whole situation.
But the whole situation.
Exactly.
That makes applying finer consistently.
Yeah, that's the challenge.
Kind of a challenge.
What might be a clear and present danger in one case
right.
might not be in another.
Even if the words are similar.
Even if they're saying similar things.
It's not always easy to predict.
Yeah, there's a lot of nuance.
How the law is going to be applied.
It's hard to say for sure.
Which kind of brings us back to that point.
Yeah.
About police discretion.
That we talked about before.
That we were talking about before.
Yeah.
It seems like Finer gives law enforcement a lot of power to decide when speech is dangerous enough.
Right. They have to make those judgment calls.
To step in.
Yeah.
And that's why those dissenting opinions.
Those dissents are so important.
Are so important.
They remind us.
They really highlight.
That this power could be abused.
Or a risk of abuse.
That the police could silence voices.
Right.
Even if they don't like.
Those voices aren't actually inciting violence.
Even if it's not really dangerous.
So how do we deal with all this complexity?
Yeah, how do we handle this?
If Finer doesn't give us the answers.
Right, if there's no easy answer.
What guidance does it offer?
I think the best thing about Finer.
Okay.
Is that it makes us really think about what's important here.
Okay.
It reminds us that free speech mm-hmm. is so important for a democracy.
Yeah.
But it's not unlimited.
Right.
There are times when other things.
Like public safety.
The public safety.
Yeah.
Are more important than just letting people say whatever they want.
But at the same time.
But we also have to be careful.
We can't be too quick.
About silencing people.
To silence people.
Just because we don't like what they're saying.
Right. Even if it's offensive.
Even if it's offensive.
Or we just disagree with it.
Or we just flat out disagree.
The First Amendment.
It's the point of the First Amendment.
Is meant to protect a wide range of speech.
A wide range.
Including things that might make us uncomfortable.
Stuff that we might find disturbing or even hateful.
So it seems like Finer is more like the beginning of a conversation.
It's a starting point.
Than the final word.
It's not the end of the story.
On this issue.
It makes us keep talking about free speech.
Yeah. It makes us keep thinking about.
And what it means.
Where the limits of free speech should be.
And where the lines are.
So to wrap up this deep dive.
Okay.
Into Finer v. New York.
Mm.
What's the one key takeaway?
If I had to boil it down to one sentence, I'd say Finer v. New York shows us that free speech is super important for our democracy.
Yeah.
But it's not absolute. It's not a blank check.
And where the line is.
To say whatever you want.
Between protecting speech and keeping things peaceful.
Right.
Is often really hard to figure out.
And it's something that we need to keep talking about and thinking about as new challenges come up.
As things change.
Yeah.
We got to keep the conversation going.
Well said. And thank you so much for
welcome.
Guiding us through this case.
It was my pleasure.
I know. I learned a lot.
It's a fascinating case.
And I hope our listeners did too.
Yeah. It really makes you think.
To everyone listening out there, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for tuning in.
For this deep dive.
We hope you learned something.
Into Finer v. New York.
And that it made you think about.
We hope this episode has.
The importance of free speech.
Really made you think about free speech and.
Our crazy world.
All the nuances that come along with it.
Yeah.
Until next time, keep those minds questioning.
Keep thinking.
And those voices engaged.
And keep talking.